Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking lobster galore and king lychee creams. First up, food headlines.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Jack. Jack Hensley's in the studio, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network. What do we have for food headlines this week?
First of all, it's nice to be on Hot Grease.
I know, right? I know. I'm looking forward to this.
So this, I'm sure, piqued your interest in Brooklyn Magazine, titled The Evolution of the New York Times Brooklyn Trend Piece. Basically, this article saying, you know, the Times just can't stop writing articles about nothing, i.e., you know, Brooklyn becoming trendy. Have you noticed this in the Times?
I know, right? It's almost like a mockery now.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like making fun of the Brooklyn food scene. And not even the food, everything about Brooklyn. But they also know that people around the country, really around the world, are like, ah, Brooklyn. They're really excited.
But so, is it newsworthy?
No. I think they do it because they get readers. I think people are clicking on the shit and reading it.
Yeah, outside of Brooklyn, you think?
Outside of Brooklyn. Travel outside of Brooklyn all over the world, and you say you live in Brooklyn, Jack, they would go crazy. And if you said Roberta's Pizza, they'll be like, ah. Yeah. So it's cute. It's kind of funny how Brooklyn Mag did that.
Yeah, they basically just call out the Times, and which I think is fair.
So we'll see. You think I think that they'll continue writing a bunch of pieces on Brooklyn from now to the end of the year.
The question is, if Brooklyn stops becoming trendy, what's next?
I think we can ride this train for a little while longer.
Yeah. All right, cool. So second headline we've got is Gwyneth Paltrow playing Gabrielle Hamilton in Blood, Bones, and Butter. So
yeah, I don't know if I'm trying to figure out, is that confirmed? I don't think so. I think it's confirmed.
No, it's been mentioned. So Gabrielle Hamilton, of course, the chef of Prune, and I think they look alike. What do you think? You think it works?
Let me say this first. I'm a huge Gwyneth Paltrow fan. Some folks hate her. They think that she's very polarizing. I absolutely loved her. I loved her from like back in the day when she won her first Oscar with the pink dress. And let's be real, she's a serious food person.
Right.
People think that she's not. So I think she could do the Gabrielle Hamilton thing. I don't know if they really look alike though.
I mean, close enough, I guess, right?
Yeah, but it would be really cute. It'll be really cute to see her in a food movie. I know she's done a few shows with like Mario Batali on PBS, but to see her acting as a food person, that'd be interesting.
She'll understand the nuances of food as a foodie herself. So then I guess the most important headline we have here is in Maine, apparently they've got more lobsters than they know what to do with. So there's an overabundance of lobsters, whereas all these salmon fisheries are being overfarmed and the wild salmon are gone, and there's all these lobsters in Maine. They don't know what to do with them, and the price is now going down. So what do you think of that?
Well, first of all, are the prices really going down?
Some places.
Okay.
Well, the prices are going down for the lobster, the people, you know, harvesting the lobsters, for the people catching them, because there's so many that, you know, the demand is pretty low.
Okay, I'm going to have to say this, because I was so excited when I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a food headline. 5 years ago, when Red Hook Lobster Pound came out, you could get a lobster roll for like $12 mm-hmm. from them. It was because like 5 years ago, this same thing was happening. And so the prices were super low. Now I think they're at Red Hook Lobster Pound is at the Brooklyn Flea. They're at New Amsterdam, all the Brooklyn, New York markets. And they have a truck. I think they may be like at $16 or $18.
Wow.
And so I asked them like 2 years ago, like, are the lobster prices still down? Why do you keep going up? And they were like, oh, it crept back up, whatever. So I'm glad to hear this. And I'm going to start questioning people. You know?
Right. So, you know, call them out on that.
Yeah, because I'm a huge, huge lobster roll fanatic. I love mine. I like the Connecticut style, which is the butter without the mayo. But yeah, I'm going to start asking all these folks, are they going to go down on the prices?
So yeah, this was in the Times. And apparently, you know, some of the savings are passed on to the customer. But even in Maine, some of the places are charging the same, if not more. After they get it cheaper. I mean, it seems crazy to me.
Well, I'll say when you go further up the East Coast that the lobster rolls are definitely less expensive than they are down here in New York.
18 is a lot.
I mean, 18 is a lot. There are some other places, you know, if you go to like Ed's Lobster Bar, who's been on the show before, you're talking 22. You're talking 24.
For one lobster roll?
For one lobster roll.
It's probably a very good lobster roll.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, it's good. So, I mean, that's good. I mean, it's actually a good thing for business owners, but probably a bad thing for the ecosystem, because I wonder what the hell is going to happen to all these lobsters. Cause,
right.
Yeah. Very interesting. We'll see. We have to keep an eye out on that one.
Yeah.
All right. So, food headlines. Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Every week, y'all, we'll have Jack. We'll have guests in the studio giving us the food headlines of the week. There you have it.
Yeah.
Keep listening to Hot Grease. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk ice cream. Let's get it on. It's on. It's
on. Let's get it on. It's on. It's on. You're listening to the Nice Show remix of Tekla's My Boyfriend, Your Girlfriend.
Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com. Just while we go away, teach me something new. Go away, be on top of you. Go away, teach me something new.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're listening live to us on heritageradionetwork.org, we have a live call-in number. Give us a buzz, 718-497-2128. All right, folks, if you've been listening to Hot Grease the entire month, you know we've been paying homage to ice cream. It is national. Actually, we're down to 2 days left for National Ice Cream Month. And in the studio today, I am so excited to have Mr. Walter Youngblood. He is the person behind New York-based King Leche Creams. Welcome to Hot Grease, Walter.
Thank you, Nicole.
Is it too hot in here? Is the ice cream going to melt?
It's kind of hot in here.
So welcome. I don't know. I think we can do the tasting at the end. It won't melt. You don't know, Walter? What do you think, Walter?
Maybe we can do it as we...
We'll do it as we go. So I have to ask you, the birth of King Leche. I'm saying lychee. It's the southern thing.
King Leche.
Leche ice cream. What made you decide goat's milk?
Okay, well, I'm lactose intolerant.
Ah.
I love ice cream. And so I tried to find some ways that I could enjoy ice cream without all the issues that come along with, you know. So through a lot of experimentation, coconut milk, almond milk, hemp milk, just a lot of different things, I decided to try goat milk. I drink goat milk, but it had never occurred to me to try to make ice cream with it. And through a lot of trial and error, I finally came out with a product that I enjoyed and started sharing it with my friends.
So what is it about goat's milk that is very different from, is it an enzyme that's very different from regular whole milk?
Well, the lactose sugars are more similar to the lactose sugars in human milk. In fact, goat milk and human milk are more closely related than any other mammal's milk.
Yeah, I think they say that we are the only animal or being that drinks another animal's milk.
Yeah, it's not very appetizing.
Milk. but what you're telling me is goat's milk is probably...
much better for you than cow's milk.
And connected more to the makeup of whole milk.
Right, and goat milk is consumed more globally than cow's milk. Goats tend to be treated better than, you know, cattle, especially in the States. So
we're going to try a bar. We're going to start off with a bar.
Okay.
Tell me which one I'm going to try.
I'm
going
to start you with the rum raisin.
Oh, rum raisin. Yeah,
it's got
you
really soft.
So. I saw you tweet about the rum raisin, so it has alcohol in it, huh?
It has alcohol in it. It's made from Due North rum, which is distilled in Red Hook.
So, look, Due North.
It's really soft, you see.
Okay. But it's really good. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not a big raisin fan, but I don't taste the raisins.
They're in there. It's like whole raisins in there.
Oh, my gosh. I do taste the rum.
Yeah, well, that's the whole
point. It's really good. So I have to ask you, you just mentioned Due North. You started off at New Amsterdam Market about a year ago. I remember seeing you there. That's a place where there are a ton of you know, food purveyors and small business owners there. How did you feel embraced the first time you were at New Amsterdam Market?
I did. I felt embraced by the people who tried my ice cream. I had a few people come back and tell me how much they enjoyed it. And that was the first time that was my debut.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was really felt really good to get, you know, praise for something that I had been working on.
So did you debut at New Amsterdam Markets? For folks who are listening, they're not in New York City. It is a market that is fairly new. They're about 2 years old now.
I think
they're
so, yeah.
Down at South Street Seaport.
Correct.
Did you debut at their ice cream market? I think they're having another one that's coming
up. I debuted at their, I think it was the second annual ice cream social.
Cool. Okay, so one other flavor. So we tried the rum raisin. What all did you bring today?
See, now we're going to go to cucumber basil.
Cucumber basil. And what else do you have in the bag? Because I'm going to take a bite of peach.
I also have peach lavender.
Oh, my gosh. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really flavorful.
Peach lavender. I have my rendition of red velvet.
Oh, you know I have to try that because, let me ask you this. So when you bring the red velvet out, how do people act?
Well, well, that's a good question.
And the reason why I'm asking that is because there are so many folks who are doing red velvet something.
Well, in my signage, I make sure to mention that it's actually, like, I was using spring beets, so I would say spring beet red velvet.
Gotcha.
Because traditionally, you know, red velvet was made with beets, not red food coloring.
That's
where the red
say.
Color came from. So I do have to explain that to people because people don't realize that, you know, the red at one time was actual
So they
from
think that you're
ingredient.
Putting food coloring in your...
They don't realize, people don't very often realize that there's beet in it. So it's essentially a beet and chocolate ice cream.
So you have the beet for the color, you have the chocolate, which is the cocoa, and then the cream, which is the goat's milk.
Right. So, but I don't want you to taste that one yet.
Oh, okay. I'm you want to say that?
Well, I'm going in order here. So how about the peach lavender?
Yeah, peach, because I'm a Georgia peach.
That's right. See?
So let me ask you this. In terms of your goat's milk, do you source from New York State?
Right. So I get my goat milk through Ann Saxelby Cheesemongers.
Love Ann Saxelby. She has a show here on Heritage.
She gets the milk from Side Hill Acres, which is in New York or New Jersey. I can never keep it straight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's locally. You know, it's a local dairy, if you will. And so, she's very helpful for me. I get my milk there every week, and it's there ready, waiting for me.
Oh, my gosh. I love this, Walter.
You like the peach lavender?
I'm into the peach. I'm really into the peach. We're going to have to give Jack is going to have to come back over here and take this stuff back to the Heritage office because we have so many here, so they want milk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So in all of your other fruits, do you do a lot of farmers market trips for your peaches? And
I get all of my produce locally at markets. And sometimes, you know, I have to resort to Whole Foods, which I hate to put it that way, resorting. But I try to support the local small farmers that are in the area. So I get my peaches from, you know, I have someone who saves bruised peaches for me. My duck eggs come from someone who has ducks that waddle down by the stream.
Wait a minute. You use duck eggs instead of
chicken eggs.
Oh, wow. I love that. I didn't realize that.
I use duck eggs because, well, when you tasted my ice cream the first time, I didn't have any eggs in it. Mm-hmm. I was still sort of perfecting my recipe. But I decided I really needed to use eggs. Goat milk has a lower fat content than cow's milk, and you really need fat to get that good mouthfeel, full mouthfeel. Duck eggs have a higher fat content than chicken eggs, and the ducks tend to be treated better than chickens, and so I really try to
I didn't realize you, so your ingredients that makes it very different is the duck eggs and then the goat's milk
and coconut milk.
Oh, and you use coconut milk. Interesting. Oh, interesting. We're going to take a short break. We want to get more into you and all your unique ingredients. We have a lot more to talk to as we end. Boo, 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 boo. We end the month of ice cream with Mr. King Leche on Hot Grease on Via Heritage Radio Network. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Knife Show remix of Paper Twins' Coma.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking ice cream today. One of Gotham's goat milk ice cream makers is live in HRN Studios, Mr. Walter Youngblood from King Leche Creams. So, Walter, first of all, I have to ask you about your name. Walter Youngblood, the first thing that comes to mind is Raisin in the Sun.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Walter Lee. Their last names were Youngblood. No? I don't know. Maybe, no.
I don't think so.
What were their last name in Raisin in the Sun? Okay, somebody tweet me and tell me the family's name. Was it not the Youngblood family? I see Therese Nelson is listening. Tell me the name of the family from, I don't know. For some reason, the first time I saw you and found out your name, the first thing I thought about was Raisin in the Sun.
Sidney Poitier?
Well, hey, we're sending Poitier, whatever. You're fly like that. And speaking of fly, I knew I had to have you on the show when I saw you in New York Magazine. You were in New York Magazine as you're kind of, they do this style thing every week.
The lookbook.
So you were looking nice in there.
I felt like I looked a mess that day.
Really?
I was hungover. And yeah.
Oh my gosh. You look so, you have the whole, I don't know, you have that it look, and then you're making cool ice cream.
Well, I guess it worked for the day.
So you didn't like the photo. Do a lot of people?
No, I didn't like that photo too much. I went home after I saw the photo. I shaved my mustache off, and yeah, I was like, I don't know about that.
What did people say? Do people recognize you as the guy that was in New York Magazine?
Yeah, I was stopped a couple of times in Red Hook, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're looking at a lot of New York Magazine then. Or they're going to New Amsterdam or the Flea a lot, huh?
Well, Nicole, I make my ice cream in Red Hook at the Good Fork.
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the Good Fork. I also work at the Good Fork a couple of days a week.
Oh, okay, and, cool.
So, I'm in Red Hook a lot. And, yeah, so a couple of people recognized.
I love the Good Fork. I've been there before. I didn't realize that you did your stuff. But you live in East Harlem.
I live in East Harlem.
So, that's funny. We're talking about East Harlem. And lactose intolerance. Only thing I can think about is the huge Spanish population in East Harlem.
Yeah.
Do you bring some of those influences into your flavors?
It's hard not to. Like early in the season, I had flavors like cajeta habanero.
Oh, okay.
Cajeta is a caramel made from goat's milk. And I do live in East Harlem. East Harlem, I think, has the largest poblano population in the city. So there's a lot of Mexicans from Puebla, and so the Mexican food is incredible in the neighborhood, and the influence is really growing. The name of my product, King Leche, I mean...
There you have it.
My dog's name is King. My cat's name is Leche. They both came from the East Harlem Animal Shelter, and it kind of just happened.
So you're going to move to Brooklyn anytime soon, since we were talking earlier about...
that's a good question. If I can find the same... I might get priced out of my neighborhood. If I can find the same sort of flavor that I get in East Harlem elsewhere...
Well, but we're sitting in Bushwick. I was telling you earlier before the show started, if I had to pick a neighborhood that probably is most like East Harlem in terms of the deep tradition and culture, I would say Bushwick.
Well, you know, I'm pretty close to the Boogie Down, so...
Oh, the Boogie Bronx. Down Bronx. They say
the Bronx. The Bronx is beautiful.
I know, the Bronx is beautiful, and no one is going to the Bronx, it seems.
I am in the Bronx a few times a week, actually. I go to Orchard Beach a lot, so...
Oh, okay.
You know, I hang out in the Bronx.
So, I want to talk... So, you're at Smorgasburg on Saturdays.
Every Saturday.
Are you doing New Amsterdam, or you just...
I don't think I'm going to do New Amsterdam this year, mainly because I've changed the format of my ice cream. I'm not doing scoopable ice cream now. I'm doing bars. And what you now are tasting is the blueberry tarragon beet.
Oh, wow. Y'all, I wish you guys could... Okay, first of all, the colors in his bars are just absolutely gorgeous. And the taste is just... It's like a creamy taste and just...
And Nicole, there's nothing artificial in what you're eating. The colors, the fruit, everything is natural and wholesome.
Do we like that natural word? That natural word is so tricky. But the tarragon in here, you can taste it, but it's not like in your face. It's like in the back when you, as soon as you taste a bit. This is so good. I'm a sweet fanatic on Walter, so.
Right. I'm really happy to see you enjoying this.
Oh, I see. You're sitting here like, wow. We're going to take a short break and talk a little bit about your ice cream memories.
Okay.
And all that good stuff. If you're listening to Hot Grease, keep listening. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Knife Show remix of Jesse Boykins III, Before the Night Is Through. Before the night is through, I will walk to you. You will be the one, I will be your drum. Drum innocent is a smile my way.
No, I could be in heaven today. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Our show today is being engineered by the great Joe G. Joe G has a new hair color. I love that, Joe G. And today I'm being produced. The show is produced by myself and Jack Inslee. Southern Girls Hug, let me give it always to Roberta's Restaurant. It's the location of Heritage Radio Network here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you're just tuning in, y'all, it's our finality to National Ice Cream Month, and we're talking with Mr. Walter Youngblood of King Leche Creams. Walter, I'm so glad you're here. So I have to ask you this. You told me earlier, you grew up in Chicago?
No, I went to school in Chicago.
Yeah.
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, Kansas City, Missouri. So that's really the Midwest.
No, it's kind of like up south.
You? Oh, really?
I didn't realize till I left.
Really? So you...
Very southern.
So you grew up with southern sensibilities.
Yeah, my family's from Texas. Mm-hmm. My father's family's from Texas. The mother's side is from Oklahoma. So it's very much a lot of Texan in me.
So what do you remember about ice cream growing up? And,
I have great memories. My father has a huge family. My father had nine brothers and sisters. And his father had 20 brothers and sisters. So family get-togethers were pretty big. And always, especially in the summertime, but throughout the year, the family would get together at one of my uncle or aunt's homes, and someone would pull out the old ice cream maker. Not the hand cranked. It was an electric ice cream maker. Uh-huh. But someone would pull it out, and, you know, in a couple of hours, the kids would have ice cream. And it was just, you know, what it was milk, egg, and vanilla extract.
Yeah.
But it was just the best thing, you know, for us. And, you know, we'd be having ice cream and dancing around happy. And
this is the thing. I kind of sort of remember people making ice cream. I don't remember waiting. You know how now you have to wait to the next day till it freezes. I just remember people making the ice cream and then it would it'd be kind of soft. Yeah. They give you the ice cream and that was it. Is that
rock
your memory?
Rock salt. Exactly. Ice. Yeah, that's it.
Do you have one of those old?
I do have one of those. I've used it, but now it's just sort of for nostalgia, you know.
Yeah.
But so, they make good ice cream. You know, it's really, really simple piece of machinery that makes a really good dessert.
So Goat's Milk's ice cream in New York City. I only know of only one other spot that's doing Goat's Milk here in the city. Any other favorites around the country that you want to share with folks if they can't get to New York City?
Well, what they can do is contact me at King Leche Creams, and I can maybe send them some of my
so
ice cream.
So you're shipping?
I am really considering starting to do that because I've gotten a lot of interest outside of the New York City area. I'm just trying to figure out a way to do it where it's not price prohibitive.
Yeah.
You having the red velvet now.
Yeah, so now, y'all, I'm trying the red velvet. The color definitely is red velvet, without a doubt.
And that's the beet in it.
And you I don't like beets, but I don't taste beets, so
you
it's
don't?
Fine.
Mm-mm. I'm going to tell you a story. So sometimes after the market on Saturdays, I'll have ice cream left over, and I give it to some of my neighbors in East Harlem. And one of my neighbors, Gigi's, he's almost 50-year-old Puerto Rican guy, and I gave him some of the red velvet, not telling him what it was exactly. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, man, this is good. Like, you know, it's beet. He said, it's beets. I fucking...
That's okay. You can say that.
I fucking hate beets. What? This shit is good. This is some good shit. And he's like, you know, you got me to eat beets. I haven't had beets in 40 years.
Oh, wow. So how many beets approximately in like one?
It's a lot of beet in there. It's, I puree and make a beet juice, reduce it, mm-hmm. and use probably about a third of a cup of beet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, beets are really good for you. This is really good. All of the flavors are good.
And I have one more for you to taste.
One more.
And this is the spicy chocolate.
Spicy chocolate. Love,
I think you'll like
love,
the spicy
love,
chocolate.
Love. So what can we expect? You are at Smorgasburg. Are they going on through year round or?
Through November, I think.
So what flavors can folks look out for?
Well, I can't really predict. What I do is like some of the flavors, like the red velvet, people asked. I, you know, brought red velvet a couple months ago. People started asking for it again, so I made it again. I try to get inspired by the market. So sometimes I don't know until like Wednesday what I'm going to have on. Sometimes I don't know till Friday what I'm going to have the next day. So and one of the reasons that it's really important that I only use organic produce, and that's been sort of a challenge for me. I didn't think it would be as difficult to find organic produce as it has been. So I don't know with flavors.
Okay.
We'll see.
But you'll be we do know that you'll be at Smorgasburg. And you're on Twitter and you do tweet out your flavors. I see that you last week you tweeted out to folks what you were going to have in the market.
I try to do that.
Try to do it every week.
Every week.
Okay. All right. So Smorgasburg, possibly shipping.
Smorgasburg. I'm also, you can find King Leche Creams at Decibel Sake Bar in the city. It's on 9th Street. It's along the line of all the Japanese sake bar and restaurants mm-hmm. in the village. You can also find King Leche Creams at the Good Fork.
Oh, cool. And for folks who are on the interwebs and they want to find you?
You can contact me. You can follow me at Twitter at King Leche 1. You can email me at kingleche@gmail.com. That's the best way to contact me. And I'm sort of getting my website up and running. I'm not very technically inclined.
It's all good. You're on Twitter. People love Twitter now. Oh, maybe you need to get on Instagram. That's what you,
Okay, I'll have to see.
Yeah, you
got to
get on Instagram, Walter. Walter.
And Facebook. You can find King Leche Creams on Facebook. Friend me or friend King Leche.
There you have it, y'all. King Leche. Bringing it here first. Bringing it to y'all first. Goat's Milk Ice Cream. One of New York's only folks that are actually doing it. I'm so honored to have you in the studio,
Nicole,
Walter.
I'm really happy to have been asked to come here.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on Hot Grease, listeners. As always, thank you for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.